everyone. I'm Peg Tuttle, and welcome to the Incredible Eye Show, where we explore the latest developments, best practices, and real-world success stories of IBM's premier operating system for enterprise computing. Whether you're a seasoned IBM Eye professional or just getting started, this is the place to stay informed and inspired. So join us as we deep dive into the world of IBM Eye and discover the true power of enterprise computing. A special thanks to our sponsors, Common, your go-to resource for all IBM Eye education, and Midrange Dynamics, accelerating change and innovation on IBM Eye. Hey everyone, welcome to the Incredible Eye Show. Today, my special guest is Pauline Brazel Ayala, a renowned security expert from Fresh Solutions. With years of experience in the field, Pauline has become a leading authority on IBM Eye security practices and solutions. Recently, Pauline made waves at the Power Up Conference in Denver, where she delivered captivating presentations on the importance of getting started and maintaining robust security practices on IBM Eye systems. In an era where security threats continue to evolve and grow more sophisticated, businesses need to prioritize the security of their IBM Eye systems. Through her extensive knowledge and practical experience, Pauline will shed light on best practices, ransomware and malware protection, as well as critical steps organizations need to take to ensure their IBM Eye environments are secure. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Pauline. All right, everybody. I am here at Power Up in Denver. It has been a very exciting show. We are sitting down today talking with Pauline Brazel Ayala.
That's right.
Yeah, I got it. So, and she is with Fresh, and I pulled her off the expo floor to do a quick interview and talk a little bit about Trinity Guard, which is the Fresh product for security, but really just talk about, you know, security as a whole in the IBM Eye community. So welcome to the show, Pauline.
Thank you so much, Peg. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to finally meet you.
Yes.
We tried to actually get together in St. Louis, but it did not work out.
That's right.
So here we are. We're going to make up for it today.
Yeah.
So what's your feeling on the conference so far? It's been very exciting.
Yeah, I think that this year has been, I've heard a lot of people, you know, have the same kind of feel that there's a lot more attendees this mm-hmm. year, that this seems to be more of a, I guess, a natural flow for the conference.
Yeah.
I guess recovering from COVID and
yes.
stuff, right? So coming back in person, and I think a lot of people are happy to be getting back to a little bit more normal.
Mm-hmm. Being face-to-face and that need for, you know, interaction, I think, is really important.
It's always good.
Yeah.
So, get together with like minds.
Yeah. And so you've been at the booth. How has the traffic been at the booth for you guys?
It's been great. It's been, there were a lot of comments last night on how late the attendees even stayed, you know, for the evening opening reception. And today we had a great lunch and we had some good chats.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good. So I know you're speaking here at the conference. So what are you speaking on? What are some of your topics?
So pretty much any time I'm speaking, it's always security related. And primarily this year, it's focused around the top vulnerabilities that we see in the IBM Eye security space, and then focusing on the network access to your IBM Eye through things like FTP, ODBC connections, socket APIs, and those sorts of things, and how to monitor and protect your system against unauthorized access, and just educating people really on what that access looks like, because a lot of times people think that just because you're corporation has a network firewall, that external firewall also protects your IBM Eye data, which is not necessarily the case. There's a lot of, you know, specific protection that can be enabled on your IBM Eye that's really important to protect your data. So that, along with object and IFS level security as well, which is a huge, you know, that's where your actual data
resides.
And yeah, that's protecting the data itself. So helping people understand a bit more about what that looks like and how to, you know, implement those protections as well.
You know, when you work with organizations, where do you recommend they start? You know, are there just some quick hits that they should be thinking about? Or
yeah, lots of times, I mean, people don't know where to start, right? And they know, I know there's a lot of threats out there. I know that the cybersecurity landscape has changed.
Yeah.
In all the reports you see, cybersecurity is number one on the hit list for people's top concern. And so oftentimes we help them just by doing an assessment. You know, we'll do an assessment on their system to give them a starting point, right? Like, this is what we see. Here's what, and oftentimes, almost always, all the common vulnerabilities are there.
Okay.
If they haven't been, if they don't know about security already, the system is likely vulnerable. Well, you know, the data is likely vulnerable.
Yeah.
And we give them, you know, these are the areas that we think that you need to work on. And then lots of times monitoring, you know, starting to monitor what the access looks like, implementing some, you know, there are some quick hitters, like making sure your system values are set properly. And oftentimes people, the user profile configuration needs some attention. It depends
on
the environment
and
whether or not it, how easy or difficult it is. But you know, it's a project that a lot of companies have to focus on, reducing the number of user profiles with escalated privileges. And there are ways to do it. Like, it's possible. And it's just a matter of, you know, the system has been like that for 30 years or however long. And and no one's paid the attention to it. And, you know, it, there's a lot inherited. With the strength of the system comes some common vulnerabilities, right?
Right.
And so there are projects that you can, we try to break it out in chunks for people so that they can, they're not climbing the mountain all by themselves all at once.
Yeah, it can be very overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah.
So you take off pieces and try to just balance what their best approach would be for that environment and get as much security implemented as quickly as possible, and then get auditing and security monitoring in place so they can start really seeing what's happening on the system and have the visibility into the activity on the system, into the data, you know, permissions on the system, and what is going to need to be changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing that, we take advantage of, we're really happy to have, you know, particularly in our software suite, like, that we've been able to take advantage of the new technologies that IBM has come out with over the past few years. So, like, things like authority collection and helping you really get that view of and work with it on what the least level of privilege should be and what that should look like. Because that's often, people just need to be able to see, what is it? What is it now? Who's accessing this data? They don't know, right? So we have, that's where we help put in those ways of helping them see what's actually happening and then work from there to block it down.
Yeah. So I know that, you know, Carol Woodbury has always said just one thing, one small thing.
Yeah, that's
just
what she says a lot. Step by step, I think is her.
Yep, absolutely. And so I love that you, you know, agree with that, because it can be very overwhelming and people just don't know where to start.
It's like any IT project, right?
Yeah.
No one, I mean, oftentimes, like, that's why agile development is so popular now, and Scrum type of methodologies are so popular, because you take off by, you know, chunks that you can consume and you have something to show for it, right? You know, within a short period of time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the approach that makes sense. And when you're talking about, you know, someone always has to get approval from somebody for something and be able to show what was done for it, right? So it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about, you mentioned cybersecurity being on the rise, you know, everybody's worried about it. Is there a different approach to locking down your system or, you know, securing your data when, you know, because sometimes those thefts or what have you, those vulnerabilities can be really inside our mm-hmm. four walls. But what about when we're talking about cybersecurity, you know, is there a different approach to that? Is it, you know, is it, or is it the same where you, you know, do an assessment, look at your vulnerabilities, and is that a different set of questions then? Do you know?
I think that it has evolved because of the threats, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, like the cyber criminal activity has gone up so dramatically. That along with the platform has increased in how open it is, right? With mm-hmm. all the open source applications that are available and more in use.
Yeah.
And so just the more access to the system from outside, the more openings, the more services or the more servers and stuff that you have running.
Yeah.
It just makes it a lot more critical. And just the threat out there is just exponentially yeah. higher than a few years ago. Like, yeah. it's just crazy. And security experts all over, you know, will mm-hmm. agree with this, that perimeter security is just not enough mm-hmm. anymore. It's not enough.
Yep.
Your corporate firewall is very likely to be able to be breached, you mm-hmm. know, and penetrated.
Yep.
So many ransomwares come in through phishing emails or, yeah. you know, like, they're getting past that four-up firewall. So you mm-hmm. have to have those protections in place inside your gate.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to lock down what can be locked down and just reduce your threat landscape so that, mm-hmm. you know, if that user doesn't have to have access, then why is it open? Because yep. that's a vulnerability. You know,
yep.
your threat landscape is important to consider, how mm-hmm. open it is. Once someone is inside that firewall, what can they get to? Right? Because mm-hmm. someone's probably going to get to it yeah, sooner yeah. or later.
Yeah. And do you think it's a, you know, it's not just a might happen, it's an if and when it's going to happen. Yeah. So you need to be ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been said, I've heard it said that it's either, there's two types of organizations, the ones that have been hit or breached mm-hmm. and the ones that don't know they have been. So oh. I've heard that said by other yeah. security experts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's an alarming statement, but he was,
it is, it
you
is.
Know, he's, it's just true. You know,
yeah.
like there's lots of times, especially on our platform, right? The IBMI, people say, well, that can't be breached. You know, they did. There's still that strength of that argument. Like, people still believe that it is a secure platform, but it has to be configured properly to yeah. take advantage of the features, the security functions on it, mm-hmm. and it has to be, you know, not everybody knows how to do that. It's
right.
not just common knowledge, right?
Like, yeah.
and it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So it's something that really has to be looked at.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a one and done. It's a constant, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're ongoing.
The continual monitoring. Your system yeah. is always changing, right? You're doing
yeah.
upgrades. You're adding users. You're adding new software. Your
mm-hmm.
your network is changing. Or mm-hmm. you know, it's just there's always going to be stuff happening, and it's very important to monitor what's going on and make sure that your configuration mm-hmm. is still in place
mm-hmm.
and that you're keeping up with it. Mm-hmm.
So, to that vein, then, do you recommend that you know, users do a weekly check-in, a monthly check-in, quarterly? How often do you think they need to go back to that checklist and or to the system and just make sure everything is secure, mm-hmm. protected,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, there isn't a little worm running around on
right,
the system, right?
Yeah, it kind of depends, I think, on the area that you're looking at. Some areas you want to be on top of constantly, and you want to have, ideally, real-time alerts that are giving you notice of
yeah,
when
like
stuff
email.
Is happening.
Yeah.
Exactly,
okay.
yeah. You want to have triggers that mm-hmm. are configured to send you when certain things are changing. You don't
yeah.
want someone going and changing your system values.
yeah.
You don't want,
yeah.
You know, someone creating all object user profiles at a whim.
Yeah.
You want to be alerted to those things. And then there, you know, there are other things that you can monitor on a probably a weekly basis or a okay. monthly basis even. But, yeah, I think it depends on the area that you're looking at, just yeah. based on the criticality, right, of yeah. the configuration.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I, you know, it's that, that's that, you know, it just seems so overwhelming for some people. I can yeah. just, I can, you know, just yeah. hear it. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's just too much. Mm-hmm. I don't know, mm-hmm. you know. And what's great is that there are companies out there like Fresh mm-hmm. who have solid products, a solid team of people who can come in and really help with, you know, understanding where things are at, mm-hmm. devising a plan mm-hmm. to get there, and mm-hmm. then helping yeah. you to achieve that.
Any step forward is a good step. You know, like
yeah,
any
step
forward
step, right?
is a good step.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. And then, so making sure that their protocols are up to date and effective, you know, keeping... Do you keep logs? How do you have like a tracking product that helps you with, you know, making sure things, here's the last time I checked, I'm going to check again in 6 weeks or,
well,
you know,
yeah.
making sure that there's that maintenance program kind mm-hmm. of thing, right?
Yeah, there's some, I mean, within our product suite, there are certain areas where it's constant monitoring, right? So mm-hmm. It's kind of real time.
Okay.
And then there's other pieces. So, for example, network security. You with the fire with the for the IBMI specifically, and tracking who's accessing that system, that monitoring can be turned on where you're able to see all the time, you know,
right.
who's accessing. And then you would put rules in place to allow or reject. So you would allow known authorized access, and then
yep.
it would block everything else,
right?
So you don't want everyone accessing your IFS.
Yeah.
You want to only let those users that you know have the proper permissions to come in and mm-hmm. or the proper job functions or
oh, sure.
you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is that
yep.
they're accessing. They need to have a reason that they should be able to do it.
Yeah.
And if so, the real-time part would be everyone else is blocked, so you can be also notified then if someone is trying to penetrate that system, for example, mm-hmm. if there's a software vulnerability and that bug or that exploit, that vulnerability is exploited and a rogue piece of software gets on your network and it starts trying to find out what systems are in this network. It mm-hmm. doesn't care what the system is necessarily.
Right.
It's just looking for... It's going to go through and try to find a way in, going through common profiles or, you know, user accounts or
yeah.
what have you. You know, there's common protocols on the system, just like any other mm-hmm. Linux or Windows box or whatever. And those rogue programs, malwares or ransomwares or whatever have you, if your IBMI is trying to be penetrated, what our software would then do is alert you, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
that real-time alerting of things like that would be critical.
Yeah.
And give you, what's
yeah.
going on
oh,
here?
Yeah.
This is,
happened?
Why am I getting all these invalid sign-on attempts all of a sudden from this SSH connection, right?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
that about? And then you can look and see,
yeah.
where's it coming? What's the IP it's coming from? What's happening there? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, do what you need to do in the network for the diligence of that.
So. Yeah.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, so now when you talked about, you know, outside of the IBMI mm-hmm. and the connections with, you know, other platforms. So when we talk about IBMI, we know that it is securable.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to have, you need to take the steps
mm-hmm.
to make it securable, configure it,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Okay. And then we have everything that circles it and
mm-hmm.
it's connected. Do you follow, would a customer follow the same protocols for those external systems that hang off the eye? Or is there more that needs to be done? Because, we hear about, you know, cybersecurity and ransomware happening really to the network
mm-hmm.
more than we do the IBMI. So do you have to have tighter practices with, you know, or, you know, do you treat it differently, I guess, you know?
if I answer your question right, I think that typically, like when you have different types of endpoints, I don't think that all the Linux and Windows servers in your environment are going to be running the mission critical applications like an IBM I
sure.
is. You know, so I think that the kind of heritage setup and usage of an IBM I is a lot more robust and high volume transaction centric than a lot of other endpoints, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
In that regard, I think that when you have an environment where a security team or your network people are not necessarily IBM I skilled, they may be treating IBM I the same, or they may be ignoring it completely. But they wouldn't be doing the same sorts of things on those other endpoints. They would already... They wouldn't be giving root access.
Oh, sure.
You know, and like... On the IBM I, you often see way too many all object authority profiles or users with all object authority, right? You wouldn't see that type of configuration necessarily on a Windows or Linux box, you know, where they have keys to the kingdom. And, by the way, all the software that runs our business and all the critical data that is critical to our existence.
Right.
Is wide open. Like, you wouldn't see that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
That's kind of the comparison that I make.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of like just a kind of unknown entity to some of these security teams.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I think, you know, I mean, I'm not a security expert, and I pretend to be one on the internet, right? But not really. Yeah. And so it's like, I don't know. And so, for some of our customers, you know, maybe they don't have all those endpoints, but they start adding them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just trying to take their first step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, does it make sense to, do you have to treat those external, you know, endpoints the same?
Mm-hmm.
Are they just as critical? Are they... or not, you know. So I was just trying to like understand what that would look like if I had, you know, my own environment like that. So
right, and it depends. I think it depends a lot on the usage of the server right, that you're talking about. So
yeah,
and the endpoint, what's going on there? And 9/10 out of 10, your IBM I is running some pretty critical things, unless it's some test box in the corner. But even then, it has access, right?
Yeah.
So you always your network connectivity. What can you don't want something residing on any system that can infect your network, right?
Yeah.
On any system, IBM I is the same. Your IFS can house bad programs. It can house viruses. It can house malware. It can house ransomware. IFS can be affected by ransomware.
Yeah.
You know, it's when if a program gets into your network, it's looking for an entry point and it finds one. Or there's a map drive, or there's a whatever it can and gets on your IFS. Your company can be in a world of hurt with that. If it starts encrypting things, if it starts changing permissions, if it starts deleting files, directories, objects in the operating system, you know, there's a lot of damage that can be done. So it's really important to pay attention to what the impact it can have on your environment, even if it doesn't affect the files and directories or objects specifically on the IBM I, it can house those things, and it can often hide there for a long time, without being detected by your IT team.
Sure.
You know? And it can infect a lot of other systems. Which
that's so scary when you say it like that. You know that it can sit there waiting.
That's another good point. It can sit there waiting, and that's what a lot of these ransomwares do these days. They just they go out undercover. They don't want to be detected. They don't want to be doing anything yet. They just want to permeate the network, get onto as many systems as they can. And then wait and then pull the trigger because then they get a bigger ransom, you know?
Yeah.
There's organized, this is
organized crime?
Well, there's like it's a whole business structure in some places where they have cyber criminals that are like it's not child's play.
No,
it's very serious.
Yeah,
and they don't care who you are or what you're doing.
Yeah,
and the more vulnerable you are, lots of times, you know, meaning like healthcare, for example, they know. You don't want that system down for any length of time because people's lives are probably depending on it, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
They take advantage of that, which is really awful, but,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of what we're up against.
Is there a way, I know we talk about penetration testing, so is that a way to, one, check and see, you know, where your vulnerabilities are and how to protect yourself better, you know, doing a penetration test, you know, and then, so let's talk about that. Is that something that helps, you know, we're going to do a penetration test and, you know, it's going to be a certain number of things we're going to test and then we'll see where, you know, I mean,
where the weaknesses are.
Yeah, it's like a DR test, right? Mm-hmm. Like a DR test, right?
Yeah, so with a penetration test, lots of times people say, well, we did pen testing on the network, which is usually means like a port scan. And that was done by a different team, not the IBMI team.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about specifically is a pen test for IBMI.
Yeah.
So what can users, what could someone actually get to? What's the data that they could actually get to?
Mm-hmm.
Because a port scan is not going to detect that.
Okay.
And a port scan is not going to, or, you know, what a lot of people think of as a pen test is not going to try to hack your system kind of in this way.
Sure.
Ethical hacking, right?
Sure.
But, so it's often found that doing an assessment, you would uncover certain vulnerabilities, and then based on that, you could say, okay, well, this pen test would tell you what exactly a user with this level of authority could get to on your system.
Okay.
And with this level of authority, what they could get to, you know? So it's it gives you, I guess, more concrete example of the data that could be breached, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just telling you, here's a list of user profiles with escalated privileges. Now go fix those. This is going to tell you, hey, now here's a list of the data that, you know, is this important to you?
Yeah.
And lots of times, yeah, you're going to find that the important stuff can be accessed.
Yeah.
And
that's so scary.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting that that there are so many systems that really need help. And, but like I said, it is possible to get to a very secure environment,
sure.
Very secure, where you know exactly what's happening on your system and who is accessing it and when, and you can have those, you know, notifications and letting you know what's important, what's critical, let it be escalated quickly. And then you also have you need to have your auditing turned on so that you have forensic data available should you ever need it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? 'Cause if that's another issue that people run across is they call us and we've had a breach and we're looking for help.
Yeah.
And the first thing you ask is, do you have auditing turned on? And they don't. So if you don't have auditing turned on, you're really... You don't have anything to go on, you know, to even identify where they got in or how it happened.
Yeah.
So
turn your auditing on, people. Hello.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Any other like critical hits like that? Turn auditing on. Any other, you know, get some help.
Just make sure you don't have default passwords.
No default passwords. Okay.
Yeah. There's
some. Make sure your system is up to date.
No.
Yeah.
There's several system values that you can set, you know, that will help you out a lot. The basic things that should be done. Increase your password level. Make sure your key security level is turned up.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think that, one, that here we are in, 2023, that there's a lot of options available for folks out there. So if anybody's looking for support or needs to talk it over with you, they can reach out to you online at your LinkedIn, at the website. They can get more information. I know you guys host a number of webinars and different training options or educational options for people to get more information. So I think that that is great. So I will be sure to include that in the show notes so people have that.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
That would be. I just want to make a comment that, it can seem intimidating or overwhelming, but it's not impossible. And it's not, it's just a matter of, like everything else, just once you get into it and you're understanding what needs to happen, it's just a matter of going through the motions and, taking it out little by little.
It can be done, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be done. Awesome. All right. That was so good. Thank you so much. So before I let you go, what is your one incredible thing this week, Pauline?
Well, I will have to say my one incredible thing is that I'm going to have a baby in August.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you. So that's my, new life is my incredible thing.
Awesome. Well, that is wonderful. Congratulations. Do we know if it's a boy or a girl?
We do, but I can't say.
She's keeping it a secret, folks.
Well, I didn't want it to be a secret, but my husband doesn't want to know until the baby is born. So I'm trying not to spoil a surprise for him, but I don't know if I'll make it that long.
Awesome. That is wonderful. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. That is Pauline's one incredible thing, everybody. She's having a baby in August. So wonderful. Awesome. And my one incredible thing for this week is Power Up. I absolutely love this conference. It is my favorite. Getting back together with people, building relationships.
There's a lot of good people here.
Yeah, it is. It's the energy level is through the roof. Last year in New Orleans, it was really powerful, really lots of good energy. This year, it's 20-fold. It's so awesome. So my one incredible thing, Power Up.
Excellent.
So, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you,
I loved
Peg.
It.
It's great to be
Thank
here.
Thank you. Common is the leading association serving the IBM I community. They provide leading education, advocacy, and networking opportunities for members to enhance their careers. Check out the website for upcoming events, volunteer opportunities, and membership information. Mid-Range Dynamics is your one-stop shop for accelerating change and integration on IBM I. Their products include MD Change for control and automation for DevOps, MD Workflow orchestrates and integrates CI/CD pipelines, MD Rapid reduces database downtime from hours to minutes, and MD Rest for I, your all-in-one REST API solution. Head over to their website for more information or to schedule a demo. You'll find the link in the show notes.